WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Members of Congress are demanding to know how a man with a rifle was able to shoot at former President Trump, grazing his ear. CBS's Nicole Stango says Wisconsin Republican Senator Ron Johnson wasn't satisfied with a briefing today by the Secret Service.
Johnson said he spoke with DHS Secretary Mayorkas over the weekend, who did not have satisfactory answers regarding the attack. He also said he plans to call for Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle to resign. Of course, for her part, the director says she has no plans to step down at this point.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell today also called on the director to resign. Donald Trump Jr. says his father's reaction to the attempt on his life showed what kind of a man he is.
When you're actually shot at, when you're actually tested, that's when you see what people are really made of. And I think the entire world saw what my father's really made of.
Trump spoke on the floor of the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Ohio Republican Senator J.D. Vance will introduce himself to the country. When he speaks tonight at the Republican National Convention, he'll be introduced by his wife. CBS's Ed O'Keefe says this will be the first time many Americans see and hear former President Trump's running mate.
A lot for him to do tonight in a short amount of time. First of all, introduce himself to a country that's still trying to Google through the facts about him, explain where he now aligns with former President Trump after so vociferously critiquing him during the 2016 campaign and declaring himself a never-Trumper.
And we've learned that the Secret Service has now begun protecting Vance. The National Transportation Safety Board has scheduled 20 hours of hearings to be held over 2 days in August. They'll be focused on the Alaska Airlines flight where the door panel blew out mid-flight from a Boeing 737 MAX jet in January. CBS's Chris Van Cleve says the NTSB wants answers.
The NTSB has said it plans to subpoena, if necessary, Boeing leadership to appear and answer questions at these hearings.
It might have been the worst rendition of the national anthem since Roseanne Barr.
And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting air.
That was 32-year-old four-time Grammy nominee country singer Ingrid Andress. She's admitted she was drunk when she sang the Star Spangled Banner at the MLB Home Run Derby on Monday and said she's seeking treatment to get the help I need. And today we learned that she has canceled some upcoming concerts. China today said it has halted nuclear arms control talks with the United States to protest sales to the democratically governed island of Taiwan. China claims Taiwan as its territory. The U.S. estimates China has 500 operational nuclear warheads. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Advocates are demanding an investigation into the deadly police shooting of a homeless man in Milwaukee. It happened outside the Republican National Convention perimeter. Five officers from Columbus, Ohio, shot and killed Samuel Sharp Jr. Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman says Sharp was threatening someone with a knife.
Someone's life was in danger. These officers, who are not from this area, took upon themselves to act to save someone's life.
About 100 people came to a vigil for Sharp. There are hundreds of law enforcement officers from all over the country here in Wisconsin to help with the RNC. Now authorities will start an investigation into the deadly shooting. And Thursday is the final day of the Republican National Convention. We're expecting speeches from members of the Trump family. And then in the evening, former President Donald Trump is expected to give the keynote address formally accepting his party's nomination. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is Civic Media News.
The American League wins again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The American League beating the National League 5-3 last night in the All-Star game. The AL has now won 10 of the last 11 games in the Midsummer Classic. No hits for Christian Yelich or William Contreras. The Red Sox Jaron Duran named MVP for his two-run homer in the fifth to secure the win. NBA, the Bucks losing to the Clippers 112-97 in Summer League play. Milwaukee signing former Raptors guard Gary Trent Jr. Meanwhile, Patrick Beverley deciding to play in the Israeli Basketball League after no offers from the NBA. NFL Chicago Bears finally reached an agreement with their number one draft pick, quarterback Caleb Williams, who's going to earn a guaranteed $39 million over the next 4 years. Packers quarterback Jordan Love at a youth football camp in Milwaukee asked if he's got a new deal yet.
Brian Gutekunst says he hopes to have a contract extension done with him before the start of camp.
Nope. He didn't want to talk about it. That's Jordan Love with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cooler tonight, lows in the low 50s. Sunshine and pleasant again tomorrow, highs upper 70s. And more sun Friday, high near 80. Temperatures continue to warm into the weekend with some slight chances for showers and storms. Highs upper 70s to 80. It's 69 degrees right now.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, day four, we're live at the RNC in downtown Milwaukee. A little sports talk with Paul Noonan, Brittany Merlot for Weather and Wine at 11:50. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is a Civic Media News special report. Everything you need to know live from the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Now your hosts, Todd Alba and Civic Media News Director Terry Bell.
Good evening and welcome to Civic Media's special coverage of the Republican National Convention live from downtown Milwaukee. Over the next hour, we'll give you the facts and the flavor of what happened at the convention on Day 3 at Fiserv Forum. We'll also have perspective from our analysts a bit later in the show. But first, we welcome my co-host a few blocks away at Wisconsin Media Row in Panther Arena. The host of the Todd Allbaugh Show is Todd Allbaugh. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Terry. Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our coverage here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm just a few blocks from Terry Bell at our broadcast studios in downtown Milwaukee. I am here in Panther Arena, home of the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee men's women's basketball team, also the Admirals hockey team here at Wisconsin Media Row, which is right adjacent to Fiserv Forum. And Terry, another busy day here. Lots of folks coming by our table, but also a lot of the other tables as well. We had an opportunity earlier today on my show to talk to sitting U.S. Congressman from Wisconsin, Glenn Grothman, who at times can be a bit controversial, I guess we'll put it mildly, but we want to thank him. He had the courtesy to sit down, had a good, honest chat today, and so talked a little bit to Congressman Grothman of Wisconsin. Also seen him walking through Congressman Brian Stile. We've offered him a chance to stop by and chat, but he hasn't taken us up on that quite yet. And Derek Van Orden has was seen walking by and through the building a little bit as well. So lawmakers continue to go through here at Panther Arena. And, of course, a lot of media. Things kind of ginned up on the media side. It seemed like a lot more foreign press over here today. Lots of delegates coming by. And, of course, the RNC, just like we'll see in a month at the DNC in Chicago, they like to shop their delegates so that it's not just seen as coming from party bosses or lawmakers. They want to kind of peddle the quote-unquote average person to us here in the media and let them tell the story of the RNC. So that was kind of the flavor of the day here. Of course, temperatures have cooled down a bit in Milwaukee. Beautiful day. Breeze off Lake Michigan. Couldn't ask for a nicer day here in southeast Wisconsin.
It sure is a nice day, Todd. Probably the biggest story of the day, the biggest political story of the day, did not happen in Milwaukee. It happened, in fact, in Las Vegas, where President Biden tested positive for COVID-19. His press secretary earlier today said the president would plan to fly home to his home in Delaware, where he'll self-isolate and continue to carry out all his duties during that time. The news was first shared by Unidos U.S. President and CEO Janet Mergula. He was supposed to speak to that group this afternoon, but she had to tell guests that the president had his regrets and could not appear. The president's personal physician says in a note that the president was presented this afternoon with upper respiratory symptoms, including a runny nose, cough, and general malaise. After the COVID-19 test, Biden was prescribed the antiviral drug Paxlovid and had taken his first dose. So There is one story we're sure to be hearing more about today and tomorrow. Also, today there was a hearing, law enforcement officials investigating the assassination attempt on former President Trump last Saturday told lawmakers in an unclassified briefing that 20 minutes, a full 20 minutes had passed between the time Secret Service snipers first spotted shooting suspect Thomas Crooks and when shots were fired. Crooks fired his first shots at 6:12 and was killed by Secret Service agents 26 seconds later. Why he went without being confronted by law enforcement for so long of a time is going to be a key issue of questions as investigators move forward and Homeland Security reviews what happened. And the other big story happening today is former White House official, former Trump White House official, Peter Navarro, who was released from prison earlier today, will speak at the Republican National Convention tonight. He says he's going to have a message of unity, although much of what he had to say to reporters today was about how he felt he was wronged in the way he was treated in the entire January 6th investigation. So those were some of the things happening in politics and in our government away from Milwaukee today.
Yeah, Terry, like you say, maybe some of the biggest news was made outside of Pfizer Forum today. And, of course, President Biden being diagnosed, or they're saying he's diagnosed with COVID-19, as you said, going home to Delaware and self-isolate. For people, politicos like myself and you and other people who kind of watch these things, it was interesting. We'll simply leave it at that. The Politico. .com tweeted out this tweet saying that the president had told, or the reports that he had told people, hey, if there was a health issue that came up, maybe I would, you know, reconsider whether I should step down as a Democratic nominee. And then literally like 4 hours later, the headline from Politico is Biden has COVID. Make of that as you will, but it was just rather interesting for those of us that watch these things. Also, out in California, reports have been confirmed that California House of Representative Congressman Adam Schiff, now the Democratic nominee for U.S. Senate in California, has called officially on President Biden down as the Democratic nominee. Trigvi Olson of Lincoln Project will join us here at this table a little bit later, but he and I were talking about earlier on my show that, you know, the Democrats, in his opinion, was saying that they really need to kind of just make a decision, either go with Biden and stick with it and just fight hard, or else, you know, pick somebody else. But this ongoing thing, will he, won't he, will he, won't he, it's not good if you're a Democrat or if you're a Democratic strategist indeed. And then, as you mentioned, Terry, you know, Peter Navarro literally started the day in jail. He'll end it on the dais in front of a national, international audience at the Republican National Convention 24 hours after the theme of this convention was safety and putting criminals behind bars and being tough on crime. And yet here, once again, we'll remind people, now the official nominee of the Republican Party for President Donald J. Trump is a 34-time convicted felon. There will be another felon tonight on the dais. Hypocritical seems to be an understatement.
I think that may be fair to say. I think it's going to be interesting to hear what he has to say. Earlier today, as I mentioned a moment ago, he said he was going to have a message of unity tonight. Of course, that was what we understand was going to be Senator Ron Johnson's message. That got changed, and so it really, I would be eager to wait and see what Mr. Navarro actually has to say once he gets started.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting indeed. And again, you know, last night we saw this theme again, anti-immigrant, dividing people along ethnicity and racial lines, does not seem to be a message of unity. I'll also say this, Terry Bell, as a longtime Republican who left the party in 2011, predominantly over voter suppression bills, but has spent a lot of time at not national conventions, but state Republican conventions. And I'll simply say, not necessarily your poster child of the perfect Christian, but a person of faith. I had a bit of an Orwellian moment today. Trygve Olsen, after our show, we stepped outside the perimeter. We thought, we're in Milwaukee. Let's go to a Milwaukee iconic restaurant, Mater's, right outside of the safety zone here for a brat. And we would like a beer, but we were kind of still on the clock. So we had a brat and a Coke with a hot pretzel bun. It was delicious, by the way, with a little mustard, no ketchup, in true German form. But as we were walking, Terry, you had on the corner a guy playing a guitar amplified and playing a Christian praise song like you would find in any non-denominational kind of contemporary church across Wisconsin. And right a half a block away, where you could still hear this guy singing Christian songs, was a T-shirt table that said, "I support Trump and Jesus." And for as someone who takes their faith seriously, to look at the dichotomy here, just the weirdness of this all, for people professing that they want to be led by their faith and nominating somebody like Donald Trump, here's the thing. When George W. Bush was the nominee in 2000, a lot of the line was, look, we need morality and character back in the White House. This is after Bill Clinton. And now, you know, receiving oral sex in the White House and the Oval Office seems like a novel charge, right? But that was the charge back then, that he had had sex with an intern in the Oval Office with Monica Lewinsky, and we needed to get, the Republican message was, we need to bring morality back to the White House. And George W. Bush was a guy who drank and partied by his own self-admission and then found religion. And by all accounts, his life truly changed, and he lived what he believed. You could disagree with his policy. You could disagree with what he did after 9/11 in terms of foreign affairs, but it's hard to argue that the man as a person lived the life that he believed. You try to apply that then to Donald Trump, and here's a guy that his wife won't even show up here in Milwaukee because she apparently can't stand him. Here's a guy who has had three wives. Here's a guy who has been found guilty, or liable at least, of sexual assault, rape in legal terms. The list goes on and on. Most of our viewers and listeners know it. But it was surreal for me as a former Republican and a person of faith to be here in Milwaukee and seeing kind of the iconic things like Mater's Restaurant in a brat and a guy singing religious songs and T-shirts that say I love Jesus and Trump, and thinking, what is up? Like you just, it's odd to say the least. I hope I painted the picture for our audience of this. It just doesn't match up. It's like two magnets. You know, a magnet has a positive and a negative. And if you put them on the negative and the positive, they will attract together. A positive and a positive, they keep pushing each other apart. That's what it feels like for me here. It feels like two magnets. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't match up.
Would it make sense to the extent that this is the candidate, and some of the voters that you had just mentioned would say, if you really press them, that yes, this is a very flawed person, but he's delivered on what they wanted, namely, just to name the one, the most prominent one, the Supreme Court justices that overturned Roe v. Wade. This is something that many of these voters, I'm sure you described, you know, have been working for since the early 1970s.
Yeah, no, Terry Bell, you just nailed it. You nailed it. I mean, I can't tell you how many state Republican Party conventions in Wisconsin I went to where the holy grail was, could we overturn Roe v. Wade? And I think a lot of Republicans for years thought it was a pipe dream. It would never happen. And then along came Donald Trump, and to your point, he appointed these three Supreme Court justices that did what even a lot of Republicans thought was unthinkable. And you're absolutely right. They're willing to look past this entirely flawed person who doesn't match up with what they believe because they got the overturning of Roe v. Wade.
There's still much more to come. We'll recap some of the day's key moments here in Milwaukee. And a bit later, our panel of analysts join us to sort through what it means. You're listening to special coverage of the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee on Civic Media.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
The Republican National Convention is being held in Milwaukee, and it marks the first time the RNC is in the Badger State. But Wisconsin holds a special spot in the election cycle, with the RNC the second consecutive political convention in Milwaukee. The city was picked for the Democratic National Convention in 2020, but due to COVID, most of it ended up being virtual. Do you know which city has hosted the most political conventions? Philadelphia, Chicago, or Boston? The answer coming up. Political conventions started in the 19th century. It remained the main way to select candidates until 1972, when presidential primaries determined the eventual nominee. Conventions are now considered more of a celebration of the candidate. So do you know which city has held the most political conventions? Chicago. The Republicans have been there 14 times, and the Democratic convention will be hosted there for the 11th time this summer. 50,000 people expected at the RNC in Milwaukee, a nice slice of Wisconsin for the country to see. I'm Terry.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to a Civic Media News special report. Everything you need to know live from the Republican National Convention. Once again, here's Todd Alba and Terry Bell.
Welcome back to Civic Media's special coverage of the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, with the helicopters flying overhead, as you probably heard. I'm Terry Bell at our broadcast center near Fiserv Forum. Todd Alba is at Wisconsin Media Row in Panther Arena. For the next few minutes, here's a recap of some of the highlights of day three of the RNC.
Milwaukee's police chief is defending five officers from Columbus, Ohio, who shot and killed a homeless man outside the convention perimeter yesterday. Jeffrey Norman says Samuel Sharp Jr. was threatening another homeless man with a knife.
Someone's life was in danger. These officers, who are not from this area, took upon themselves to act to save someone's life.
Homeless advocates demanded investigation. Charges filed today against the man who was arrested a few blocks from the convention on Monday, carrying an AK-47 pistol. Donnell Tinsley of Milwaukee is 21 years old. Police say he was wearing a ski mask and carrying a large tactical backpack. He faces a misdemeanor charge of carrying a concealed weapon. Congressman Derek Van Orden is making news again for getting into a confrontation. Prairie du Chien Republican accuses an anti-war protester of assaulting him in downtown Milwaukee yesterday. Members of Code Pink say Van Orden started it. He tried to shove past an activist. Milwaukee police say they're looking into it. Wisconsin U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde is going after President Biden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on foreign policy, immigration, the high cost of living, and crime.
Biden and Baldwin have failed. President Trump and I will get the job done.
Hovde delivered a primetime speech at the convention last night. There's more at stake in Wisconsin than just the top of the ticket. With new legislative maps, Republican strategist Keith Gilks says it will take high-quality local candidates to win.
It's about getting back to our roots of finding good candidates, much like what the Democratic side's going to do. People from the community know their community, have connections to their community, and know how to go out there and win races.
Down ballot races in Wisconsin will be won on bread and butter issues, especially with new, more competitive maps. So says Democratic strategist Melissa Baldoff.
They're hearing childcare is incredibly expensive. We need some help on that. They're hearing about, can we drink the water from our well? Is this safe? We need to know that someone is listening to us, that they're fighting for us, and they're doing the right thing for our families.
Baldoff spoke at a luncheon yesterday put on by WisPolitics and the Marquette Law School. Wisconsin Republican Party Chair Brian Schimming is urging GOP voters to use standalone absentee ballot drop boxes, which are more popular with Democrats. Schimming tells Wisconsin delegates that puts Republicans at a disadvantage on Election Day. The word unity is being used a lot at the convention this week, even if much of the rhetoric appeals strictly to the Republican base. Farther away from the convention, voters speak of a national divide. Mary Anderson is from Arborvitae.
There's no compromise. No one can talk to one another.
It's just so polarized, and it's getting worse. I don't see it ever getting any better.
Mindy Romero is with the Center for Inclusive Democracy at the University of Southern California. She says it wasn't always this way.
We're at a state right now that even the word democracy means different things clearly, right, to different sets of Americans.
Romero says politicians take cues from voters who have yet to fully show they're ready to move on from the current environment.
The highlights from today's Republican National Convention and the world around Wisconsin. Another story that's been happening this week and is not necessarily political, but when a convention like this is brought to a city, there are a lot of promises made about what a boon this would be to bars, restaurants, shops, and other establishments, especially, you know, in the area around the venue. We're getting multiple reports this week that businesses near the convention aren't seeing that kind of business. Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area joins us now. He wrote one of the first stories about some of these concerns a couple of weeks ago. Dan, first, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Right. So you were one of the first to report on the fact that perhaps, you know, some venues, I think it was venues for live entertainment or meetings that were first speaking up and saying, you know, we're not getting what we were promised.
Yeah, so the story I reported a few weeks ago now was kind of the highlight of it in many ways was an interview that I had with Gary Witt. Gary Witt is the president and CEO of the Pabst Theater Group, which oversees the Riverside Theater, Pabst Theater, Turner Hall Ballroom, and a couple other smaller venues in and around Milwaukee. And, you know, Gary and the Pabst Theater were part of the pitch to the RNC search committee about where they would have this convention. And I think they toured the Riverside Theater for that. And just, you know, lo and behold, things materialize here. And that interest in booking the Riverside Theater never really happens. The Riverside Theater is going to be empty for the duration of the week here, as will the Pabst Theater. So I think, you know, having those two iconic downtown venues sit empty during this convention really sends a message about the type of activity that has been happening. And I think, you know, many of the stories that we're seeing this week, and I've seen a whole lot of this in my reporting around town as well, just is that the expectation does not meet the reality when it comes to what is happening for nearby bars, nearby restaurants, things like that. I think a lot of the folks who are attending this convention are staying within the convention grounds. And then at the end of the evening, instead of, you know, going out and exploring in Milwaukee or whatever it might be, just getting on these many, many buses that line up at the end of the night to bring these delegates and attendees back to their hotels. So, you know, I talked to a whole bunch of different restaurant owners yesterday and today around town. And I think it's just, you know, there's a lot of places that not only are not getting the level of activity that they were hoping for when, you know, in the weeks and months prior to this convention, but they're also seeing an impact from their regulars are not coming downtown this week to go to their favorite spots and maybe just taking the week off or getting out of town. So I think there's been a lot of frustration at the local level about, you know, things, the overpromise and under-deliver aspect.
Dan, is there some places that are doing well? Like we went to Mater's for lunch. It seemed like they're doing pretty well. Whitetail Bar, where we did our debate a year ago from downtown. Whitetail, great place. They seem to be booked with something going on there. So there are some places doing all right.
Yeah, there are some places doing well. I talked to somebody yesterday overseas, a couple different bars, The Harp and Trinity and Vagabond Taco Bar, and I think there are a few places that, yes, they're getting a lot of activity, but I just don't think it's matching the expectations. Right. You know, Milwaukee, this is a new experience for Milwaukee to be hosting a convention on this scale, and I think a lot of people, you know, we have a lot of other big events in the summer that will kind of take over the city. I'm thinking of, like, when Harley has a big event, like every, you know, bar around town has a row of, like, 10 Harleys in front of it. I think the expectation for this week was that, you know, there would be, you know, every bar would have, like, people with the red MAGA hats pouring out of it all the time, too. But just hasn't been the case.
Carrie Bell?
So, Yes, Todd, civic media coverage of the Republican National Convention continues. Stay with us.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
CBS News Special Report. An illness takes President Biden off of the campaign trail. The latest from CBS's Weijia Zhang.
The president's doctor says he had a runny nose, a cough, and he just wasn't feeling well. So even though he does not have a fever, he took a COVID test and tested positive. He has already taken one dose of Paxlovid, which is used to treat COVID, and he will self-isolate at home in Delaware.
CBS News chief medical correspondent Dr. John LaPook adds.
An older person, that's the kind of person who we are going to take a close look at, make sure that he heads in the right direction.
Meantime, day three of the Republican National Convention focuses on foreign policy and national security. Later tonight, GOP vice presidential nominee and Senator J.D. Vance of Ohio will deliver a speech. Ohio delegate Bonnie Ward.
He's just a good old boy with lots of great ideas, and we are so proud of him.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Add one more to the list, we've had yet another tornado touchdown in the Badger State. The National Weather Service confirmed an EF1 twister touchdown in Keeler on Monday. It ripped the roof off of a classic supper club there. The family who owns it has now started a GoFundMe. We've had such an unusual tornado season here this year. 21 twisters so far in 2024. All of last year, we only had 21 of them. And with new legislative maps here in Wisconsin, and there's a lot at stake in November. Republican strategist Keith Gilka says the down ballot races will be key.
People from the community know their community, have connections to their community, and know how to go out there and win races.
Thursday is the final full day of the convention. Former President Donald Trump will give the keynote address in the evening. That's when he'll formally accept the Republican Party's nomination for president. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tome Olson for Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Add one more to the list, we've had yet another tornado touchdown in the Badger State. The National Weather Service confirmed an EF1 twister touchdown in Keeler on Monday. It ripped the roof off of a classic supper club there. The family who owns it has now started a GoFundMe. We've had such an unusual tornado season here this year. 21 twisters so far in 2024. All of last year, we only had 21 of them. And with new legislative maps here in Wisconsin, and there's a lot at stake in November. Republican strategist Keith Gilka says the down ballot races will be key.
People from the community know their community, have connections to their community, and know how to go out there and win races.
Thursday is the final full day of the convention. Former President Donald Trump will give the keynote address in the evening. That's when he'll formally accept the Republican Party's nomination for president. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tome Olson for Civic Media News.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cooler tonight, lows in the low 50s. Sunshine and pleasant again tomorrow, highs upper 70s. And more sun Friday, high near 80. Temperatures continue to warm into the weekend with some slight chances for showers and storms. Highs upper 70s to 80. It's 71 right now.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app.
100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and Maggie Dawn is counting too as she continues her special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 continues. You're invited to be part of it too. Call or text the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays starting at 2 across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we wrap up the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Lincoln Project co-founder Reed Galen will be our guest. Don't miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to a Civic Media News special report. Everything you need to know live from the Republican National Convention. Once again, here's Todd Albaugh and Terry Bell.
Live from Milwaukee, we are welcoming now our panel, Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area and Trygve Olson, Senior Advisor at the Lincoln Project. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us. Happy to be here.
Of course. Absolutely. So tonight, we hear from J.D. Vance, Donald Trump's running mate this time around. And this is not a person who is a mystery, but I think a lot of people tuning in tonight, maybe hearing him speak at length for the very first time tonight, what do you think they can expect to hear?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's going to be a really interesting introduction for Senator Vance to see, you know, to be on this stage. I think, you know, he's, you know, only been a senator for what, like 18 months, something like that. So I think it's, you know, for a broader audience that might be tuning in to see him at this convention, I think it's going to be the first time for a lot of people, you know, and I think, you know, that the selection of Vance, I think, by Donald Trump is just surely a sign that, you know, this is a MAGA party now. This is not, you know, some sort of, I think Doug Burgum or some of the other folks that were discussed as potential VP nominees could have been signifiers that you're trying to keep some of that older Republican coalition together. I think this is a sign that, you know, that is over. And that things are, you know, going in a different direction with J.D. Vance as the running mate.
Trygve also joins us now at the table, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project as well. Trygve, you tweeted out about 20 minutes ago, quote, "Tonight we are going to witness a whole new level of crazy," unquote. Explain.
Well, so they're already handing out signs that say, end the war in Ukraine and a bunch of other stuff. You have Paul Manafort wandering the floor of the convention. You got Peter Navarro straight from a prison cell to the convention. I mean, we're already seeing a whole different level of crazy on some level. The Republican Party of Ronald Reagan, wherever he is, he's flipping over in his grave. It is dead. And J.D. Vance,
capitulation earlier.
Capitulation. And J.D. Vance, we're not talking about Dick Cheney or... Dan Quayle, for that matter, or George H.W. Bush, or lots of people who've served as vice president or nominees for vice president, Paul Ryan.
How about Mike Pence?
Mike Pence.
That's, I think, has been an interesting part of this. It's just like nobody's really talking about, why is this job available? Yeah. Why is this job
Well, the other guy got hung up, or almost. You know, it is a complete capitulation. When you see Mitch McConnell have to go up on stage and get booed by the audience, Peter Navarro gets a standing ovation. It tells you that where the Republican Party is. And there is, a little bit of a normalization of all of this. I think that's the scary part. And I think, you know, the media is shell-shocked about being accused of both sides-ism. And because of that, isn't necessarily calling a spade a spade, or a heart or whatever it is. And
And you've seen this, Trey. You worked on John McCain's campaign. You worked on Mitt Romney's campaign. You've been to a lot of these things. You've been to national Republican conventions. And this one ain't normal.
No, it's not. And I can tell you when we were standing in line to get through security with the Demos, I was wishing it was Mitt Romney's convention, Todd, because we wouldn't have to stand in that line. We'd been like, campaign manager for Trump who went breezing by with three people.
Trey used to have the largest credentials in the room. Now he has to stand.
I stole the Mike Ellis line to describe that to a bunch of people, and it was pretty funny. But which I can't say on the air unless I want the FCC coming after me. But this is transformational, not just from a Republican Party standpoint, but if you look back, it really is the ending. In many ways, if it hadn't already ended, it is the cementing of the end of the post-Cold War sort of consensus that existed on certain things within the two major political parties. And yes, you had fringes, the isolationist fringe on the Republican side, the peacenik fringe on the Democratic side. But that we now have one party that is, saying they're not going to defend Taiwan. It is got a candidate who wants to pander to Xi, who wants to pander to Vladimir Putin. And for those who are listening who think that the rules-based order that the world has been sort of governed by through American leadership is not so great, wait till you get back to great power rivalry. What that's going to look like.
You can follow Trigvi Olson on Twitter or other spaces as well. Trigvi Olson.
By forest land by Bayfield, because that might be one place that's safe, although it still will glow.
The other person at the panel table here is Dan Schaefer. You can follow him at recombobulationarea. Dot news, right?
That's right.
Recombobulationarea.news. Do it today. It's a great place. No one's written better, Dan Schaefer, than you about Wisconsin. We heard earlier in Terry's piece there from Trigvi Olson's Fantasy Football League buddy, Keith Jilks.
That's not cool.
But we know this guy. I mean, he's talking about what it's going to take in Wisconsin politics in terms of winning the assembly. What Trigvi just said, having an unprecedented extremist candidate at the top of the ticket for Republicans, how is that going to work down ballot in the legislature?
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be a real factor because I think, there seems to be, to a certain extent, a divide between the MAGA Republicans and the, maybe traditional Republicans or just the Wisconsin Republicans. Like, they've been trying to recall Robin Voss for the better part of the last year here. So, I think we're seeing it, especially in the wake of the assassination attempt last Saturday, that there is a lot of unity here at the convention. But I think once you get out of the bubble here, I think it's going to be a little bit of a challenge for some of these candidates to build that type of coalition that can reach across the aisle. And so I think, you could point to any number of policies that we've seen on display over the course of the week here. And I think the Vance selection certainly is going to send a certain message to women, to people who are pro-choice. I think that's going to be a huge issue in this. And Vance has talked about wanting a national abortion ban. And I think, to whatever extent Trump is trying to moderate on that, we've seen some anti-abortion protesters greeting many of the security entrances here at the RNC. So I think that is, that's certainly a rift there within the Republican Party. And I think with Vance on the ticket too, I think it's just going to send a message that, they're not moderating on anything.
No, they aren't.
No, I think they're doubling down in some ways. I think the other thing, though, quite frankly, that we're not getting at. I was thinking to Terry, actually, as you guys were talking, I was sitting over there. Terry, you've been at this a long time. I've been at it a long time. I hate to admit that we're now the old guys. But but here's the thing. I can't think of a day in my lifetime where you've had this much news or even a week where you've had this much news. I mean, we haven't even scratched the surface on Chuck Schumer that Ruthless originally reported and has now been collaborated by all the major networks. That Chuck Schumer went to see Joe Biden and it appears said, you need to think about not running. That's sort of a Goldwater Nixon-esque moment. Yeah. So you have a massive amount of uncertainty. And I will tell you, one of the things that I learned from my work around the world is, you know, autocratic actors, and when you're in this game that we're in between democracy and autocracy, they want chaos and they want rapid speed of things that create fear in people to be happening. And we're seeing that. It's really important for people to take a deep breath and say, I'm not going to let this scare me. I'm going to look at this rationally and with steely eyes. And I think we did see some of that as we talked to people at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair and River Falls and places like that, at least in Wisconsin. I think the Republicans are going to be the dog that caught the bus in the sense that switching, no matter who it's to, if that's ultimately the way the Democrats go, you know, I know how Chris Acevedo runs campaigns. I've run campaigns with him. I've worked with him. I've run campaigns. Like, uncertainty is your enemy, and they're about to be the dog that caught the bus.
Terry Bell, in all your news experience, as Trigvi said, I mean, have you seen the news move this rapidly before? You've been around for a while.
Well, you know, the old saying, may you live in interesting times, is a bit of a backhanded thing to say, but you know, we certainly are. And it has been a strange and concerning time to be covering the news because of all that uncertainty. In the past, I mean, I used to be drawn to political coverage because it seemed like, you know, people who disagreed at least had different ideas on how to get to the same good place. And you know, we see with things like Project, you know, 2025, and I don't think we've even scratched the surface of that this week either, you know, that the stage is being set for that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, that's something Trigvi and I have talked about on our show about this. Dan, have you seen this particularly in Wisconsin? Because I know whether it's, I mean, all of our great hosts. I mean, from Pat Kreitlow, Earl Ingram, Maggie Dawn, you know, Jane Mattenair, all of them have talked about at some way a former level of Project 2025. And what we hear, I think, as hosts from listeners and texters, there's still a lot of people that either aren't aware of it or simply say this is fantasy. What have you heard and seen in your reporting?
Yeah, it's interesting. You're right. This week has been an absolute news avalanche in every direction. So I must say, frankly, a little bit discombobulating with how everything has been going. But yeah, I think it's, you know, I think we came in on Monday at this convention in the immediate wake of the assassination attempt. And I think a lot of people were talking about a moment for unity, for, you know, kind of bringing the country together, rallying around the flag, that type of sense. I feel like there was a certain level of that on Monday. I don't feel like that has continued on Tuesday and Wednesday at the convention here. I think it has just gone right back to the same type of Republican Party that we've come to expect in these Trump years. And I think, you know, whether it's Project 2025, whether it's, you know, some of the other policies, like I saw signs going around in the convention that said mass deportations now.
Yeah.
And you know, some of the policies on Ukraine, you know, it is, this is pretty fringe stuff altogether. And I think that's part of the calculus of this election too, because this is an eminently beatable candidate and platform that I don't think the majority of Americans are in support of. So I think that is surely a factor here. And I think the more emboldened Trump is, it seems like he's just kind of spiking the football right now with where he is. And I think it's you know, we're not done yet. We still have 4 months or so.
Dan Schaefer, you said something important. It's very fringe. But Trigvi Olsen, again, you and I, Ben, you more so than I, around a lot of Republican conventions, it's no longer the fringe. What Dan just said, no, that's the mainstream.
It is the mainstream. I think, you know, the interesting thing is, so Dan, you were alluding to something about state legislative races. So we at the Lincoln Project, through our C4, commissioned a pretty big study after 2022. And one of the things that we discovered is with the conservatives, Republicans, and former Republicans who were putting democracy ahead of partisan self-interest, wherever they crossed over on the ballot back to voting how their normal partisan inclinations were, they never came back. And one of the things that is really important in a state like Wisconsin, I think, for Democrats, not that, you know, maybe they don't want my advice since I'm an old McConnell guy, but I'll give it to them anyway. the thing that's fascinating about it is, if you look at the top of the ticket, right, like a lot of those people are very weary of Biden because of the age thing. That may change, right? Then you got Tammy Baldwin, who, quite frankly, they have the best political team. She has the best political team and the best political skills of anyone in Wisconsin since Tommy Thompson. She's probably not that good, but she's really good. And that team is respected by those who are in Tommy world for their skill. The question becomes, down ballot, like I saw Derek Van Orten today, I saw Style. Where are these people going to cross back? And some of the stuff that's in here, like the Ukraine stuff, I think that, you know, the abortion stuff of Vance will matter with those conservatives. I think the interesting thing is the deportation now and whatever may bring back the base.
Terry?
You're listening to Civic Media coverage of the Republican National Convention from downtown Milwaukee. There's more to come. Keep it right here.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
Wondering what makes Wisconsin Dells the perfect summer getaway? Let's find out. Let's splash. Let's play. Let's try something completely new. Let's make sure we do this again next year. Hey, I'm working up an appetite. Let's eat. Need a guy's weekend? Let's do guy stuff. Need a girl's weekend? Let's go, girls. Need a family getaway? Let's have some together time. Wisconsin Dells, let's make this the best vacation ever. Go to wisdells.com and start planning your trip to the water park capital of the world today.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
This is 93.5 The Tap. You're listening to a Civic Media News special report. Everything you need to know live from the Republican National Convention. Once again, here's Todd Alba and Terry Bell.
Welcome back to downtown Milwaukee and Civic Media's live coverage of the Republican National Convention. We are joined by Dan Schaefer and Trigvi Olson. And Dan and Trigvi, I just was curious to know, we've been here all week. What we see is a party that is very much rallying around Donald Trump. On the other hand, we have a Democratic Party right now that's having a lot of discussions about their nominee. And Republicans would seem to have the momentum right now. So, you know, the ball is now in the Democrats' court after this week. How do they respond?
Dan?
Yeah, I think, you know, so I attended an event early in the week that Tammy Baldwin held a roundtable with Senator Cory Booker just north of the security perimeter here in Milwaukee. And it was a roundtable with local youth talking about arts and education and civic engagement and things like that. And they also had a chance to speak to the press as well. But what I am seeing from Democrats right now is that they're so desperate to have the policy argument, because I think there is such a clear policy contrast that can be drawn with this version of the Republican Party. And I think they so badly want to get to that, but just all of the noise about Biden and everything post debate has made it so difficult to get that message through. So what is it going to take to get to that? You know, are we just still in this, you know, these last 3 weeks of news has so much has changed in 3 weeks. So, I mean, maybe looking another 3 weeks ahead, how much could change in that time, right? So it's really hard to say what is going to be able to break through. But I think once Democrats can get back to talking about policy, talking about the growth of the economy right now, talking about the clear contrast on abortion rights, on democracy issues, on so many of other things. And I think, you know, I think as we kind of talked about after the assassination attempt on Saturday, you know, just to keep a civil discourse and lower the temperature. And I think Democrats want to do that because they want to have the policy argument. I think they win on policy in this election.
Trigvi Olson, you've said on our show, and you talk about in the Lincoln Project, Democrats are great at building policy. Republicans are great at building narrative. To Dan's point, can Democrats do both? Can they use these issues of January 6th and women's health care to build a narrative while still talking about policy that's going to win in November?
Well, so it isn't just that they talk about policy. It's like they want to find a policy for each of the various constituencies that comprise the Democratic Party, which is a little different than talking about policy. They need to build a narrative, and the narrative they need to build really has to focus around, do you want? And then, you know, obviously it's going to be crafted to some degree depending on the audience, but like, do you want government deciding all of these things, right? Like, I'm a guy who likes my shotguns. I'm a guy who loves my daughters. I don't want government telling me what kind of shotguns I can own, and I certainly don't want some theocrat like Scott Walker or some other J.D. Vance telling my daughters what they can and can't do with their body. That's a narrative. That's not, you know, oh, we're going to give you, you know, abortion on demand because I don't want my daughter to come and talk to me about that. I want it to be, if she were any, either of them were ever in that decision, I would hope that they've been raised, that they make the decision with their doctor and as a family. And I don't want government making those decisions. But they got to put it in a context that people get, and they've got to drive that home. Because that, if you watch what the Republicans are doing here, they are building a narrative. It's a warped, perverted narrative of government intrusion into people's life, which really is antithetical to what the Republican Party used to be. Mm-hmm. But it is a narrative.
Dan Schaefer, Trigvi has also said on her show, you know, that Democrats like to fall in love and Republicans like to fall in line. Can Democrats fall in line a little bit here like my former party, which, I mean, again, it blows my mind that I'm here witnessing this. It is Orwellian to me that a party that talks about family values has nominated now a guy like Donald Trump, which is the antithesis of that, but yet they can fall in line behind him. Can Democrats unify between now and November, both nationally and at the state level, to win these races?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, the Democratic Party is the big tent party. As much as Republicans are trying to advance this as a narrative, that they are becoming that, it's very much the case for Democrats. So I think it is a challenge to get all on the same page. And I think, you know, I think the main issue that voters will often look to in these types of elections is the economy. So I think, and I think there's a challenge for Democrats in with the economic message, and it can be difficult to say, you know, we've turned things around, things are headed on the right track, but people are still struggling, people are still finding challenges within their own economic situations and whatever it might be. So it can be difficult to sell that as a narrative and just like, as the status quo. I think the Democratic Party still needs to be the party of change. You know, I'm a Hopi changey millennial Democrat here, and so I still think they need to get back to that kind of Obama style message of reform, of change, of wanting to bring a new energy to Washington.
But he built
narratives. Dan Schaefer, can he the Democrats do that with Joe Biden as the standard bearer?
That's the challenge right now, that's for sure. And I think just any time you have an incumbent, you can't really run on change the same way as you might, you know, 4 years ago when Donald Trump was the president. So I think that that certainly can make a real challenge. And, you know, lots happening right now. If I check my Twitter feed, it could change from 10 minutes ago when we had our last break. It's hard to say.
Trigvi Olson, you're going to be traveling tomorrow. We so appreciate you being out here live and in person this week. You're not going to be with us tomorrow, but what should listeners look for, watch for tomorrow when Donald Trump takes the stage? What context, lens should they watch it through?
Well, I think the entire lens, and this kind of gets into the narrative thing, the entire lens they should see it through is what happened on January 6th, from election day to January 6th. Mm-hmm. That is all that matters. And can you take anything that he says at his word? And quite frankly, they should be asking that with tonight. Where is Mike Pence?
Yeah.
Like, and at the end of the day, I think one of the things Democrats have to do a better job of is personalizing this. I mean, imagine for people who are listening who are a parent of a daughter. Your daughter is 26. She's married. She comes home and she's pregnant. She's having your first grandchild. And she says, oh, you know, Joe was out in Las Vegas and he slept with a stripper, but it's okay. Would you be proud? Would that be the kind of person that you would have wanted, the integrity that you'd have wanted your daughter to end up with? Or how about if it's your son who did that? You literally take Donald Trump's biography and apply it to people in your own life? You would not want that. The number one value that people say in Wisconsin that they want to teach their kids is integrity.
Yeah. Terry?
We'll have to leave it there. We are running out of time. Civic Media, live coverage of the Republican National Convention. I want to thank Trygve Olson and Dan Schaefer for joining us tonight. Todd Alba, my co-host, Chris Casper, Corey Hartman, and Aaron Zommers behind the scenes. Good night.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Pat Kreitlow. Thursday morning includes our Women Win Wisconsin segment, then the Republicans wrap up their convention and their own plans to win Wisconsin.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
Uline is here for the hard workers, for the ones rolling up their sleeves, working round the clock, and getting the job done. You're dedicated to doing what it takes to keep a business growing. Uline is dedicated to helping you make that happen. Working 7 days a week, staying fully stocked and ready to ship any of our 41,000 items the same day. Uline, your shipping and industrial supply specialists. Visit uline.com.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.